Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about No Creeps Were Harmed, Tower Defense, Infest, and Baldur's Gate 3. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
And I'm barely here. I'm going to turn in my... I'm in construction, for those who don't know, and we are going to turn in our buildings in 20 days. So I'll probably work all 20 of those days, and I'll probably work 12 hours of each one of those days. And it's already started. So I am a little tired, but I'm on my third glass of something that'll make it all right, or make me dumb enough to not know that it's not all right. And I'm here, terrible. And I'm queer. Oh. Let's do a podcast about video games, guys.
Sweet.
All right. Before we get into it, just a quick little plug here. We've upgraded our website, dlgaming.net. So Christian talked to me this week and he said, hey, man, the website's running a little slow. And he's not wrong. I've noticed that myself. And there were a lot of reasons for that. So I spent some time this week speeding things up. According to website.grader.com, our website is 4 times faster now. So
Ooh, probably not, dude.
A big deal for people who are on their super powerful gaming PCs, but great for mobile, which is what everybody's using these days. So head on down to dlgaming.net, check out our website if you haven't before. Lots of good stuff there.
Yeah, there is good stuff.
You can actually find all of our podcast episodes there, right?
Not all of them, most of them, right, Bobby?
They're all there, but I still need to fix the links. When we had a big upgrade like a couple of years ago, it broke a lot of the older ones and I got to go back and fix those. So right now you can go as far back as 2017, which is still pretty far back.
Yeah, it's still pretty far back, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what we're pinging this week. These are quick little things we want to bring up, and I'll start it off with Game Informer. The magazine is shutting down after 33 years, which is crazy because last week we were just talking about this. We brought up gaming magazines in general, but I never really subscribed to Game Informer. Apparently it is part of GameStop. I didn't know that. Like it was connected to GameStop.
If you went to GameStop and you purchased one of their like membership programs where you'd get like an additional 20% on trade-ins, and you can use a coupon for 15% off like every month on a game or something, right? You were automatically subbed to a year of Game Informer.
It's pretty smart actually to get the whole thing going, the whole ecosystem. It worked. It worked really well until it didn't.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, till everybody moved away from printed media. But yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, there was a magazine that I subscribed to back in the day called Game Players. It was probably like the lesser known one, but that was the one I always remember. But I don't know. We talked all about this last week. There's a lot of nostalgia for these types of magazines, and it's sad to see them go away, but I think we all understand why.
Yeah. You just need to pivot, man. I mean, like it's so easy, but you know, PC Gamer is still around, and they were they made most of their money in paper, and now they make it mostly in digital. So they pivoted correctly.
Speaking of paper and digital, you want to talk about Bloomberg this week?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I do, dude. We don't want to talk. That's why, you know what? Originally, I had this in highlights, but I was like, no, we got to dial it back. And so Bloomberg came out, and boy, is it magic-y magic, dude. It's like... You know, it's like woodland creatures casting spells. It is super cute, but also fun. It's not overly complex. And I just want to say, if anybody wants to get into modern magic, like new-ish magic, this is a great set to do it with. Every set comes out with 3 new mechanics, and these mechanics are not overly complex. And so that's why it's a good time to get in.
We talked about it on the podcast a little bit on the Magic the Gathering MTG on the DL podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where can we find that? Is that on the website, Bobby?
It's on the website, Apple and Spotify.
Damn. Making moves over here. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I played Bloomborough for the first time, and yeah, I had a really good time. I think it's all very cohesive. It's not a big mess. It is cute and fun, and I love it. Yeah, it's really good.
the best.
It also helps that I won my first tournament. So, which brings me to this question. Bobby, I want you to judge me as if you're a 100% impartial judge. Okay?
Okay.
I use this overlay on top of Magic the Gathering Arena that kind of like scores every single card that I draw and gives it a point value and then makes a deck for me.
Now, okay, hold on. Not only does it give you a point value, it gives you a point value based off the cards you've already chosen as well. And so if your first card, if you don't know what to choose and you just choose like whatever color because it's whatever color you like, it'll begin to suggest cards to choose with the most synergy. And then it'll also detect how much removal, how much, like any kind of card type that you should have, it detects that.
Yeah. So it basically makes the best deck you can out of the random cards you were handed for this tournament, right? Now, once you have that deck, it's all on your own skill to be able to build. But my defense is that I would never have enough time to go research all these things and know it on my own. So, is this cheating or is it not?
I don't know why I'm the decider here.
Because you're impartial. Like if I were to ask Nick, he might be biased because
I already have my response. I don't think it's cheating. It's plus free. It's free for everybody. You can get the paid version, which is a little bit better, but it's not cheating. What it is actually is that the professionals give scores to cards and it compares those scores to each other. It just does the math of the center, just like the center, like how synergized all your cards are.
Okay.
Also, it's because I don't respect Nick's opinion, but I respect yours. So, go ahead. Do you send me to Magic Jail or am I free to go?
Well, I don't know if it really gives you that much of an advantage if everybody else is using it. If it's widely available, then I'm sure everybody's using that. So I don't see it as much of an unfair advantage.
I don't think everyone, but yeah, probably a good amount because, like right now I just told a bunch of people like, hey, go check it out. Maybe somebody will go play Broomburrow for the first time and they go play the sealed deck event and just get destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, there is an MMR system for Magic the Gathering Arena. Apparently, it's not the best for limited because people will try to farm gems and stuff. So they'll try to lose on purpose to stay in certain times and, like, do a certain ratio of wins and losses. But yeah, it definitely play the game, play sealed, play limited. That's all I pretty much play right now, but check it out.
I didn't want to do half an hour of Magic, but here we went. All right, Nick, what's up? Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, so Hogwarts Legacy, everyone remembers the game that came out in 2023, Harry Potter. It's set like 300 years before now. It's very interesting. It has a lot of dynamic aspects to it when it comes to like your character customization, the schools, like the actual grounds. Harry Potter heads love it just to be able to even just walk around the grounds of the campus. And things like that. It's actually a pretty fun game in general. There is a leaked job listing for the company that made the game, as well as the fact that the job listing deals with assets that were in Hogwarts Legacy 1. So a lot of people think it's Hogwarts Legacy 2 being essentially leaked online.
Or a DLC, I guess, especially if it has the same assets.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. They made a lot of money off that game, yeah. And they're definitely coming out with a second one. Just kind of confirms it.
I also feel like there could totally be a Quidditch DLC and make even more money than just making a sequel.
That was one of the things that got cut. Seems a little late. Yeah.
Seems a little late for a DLC. I don't know.
You're right, too, Bobby. Yeah, or at least an announcement for a DLC.
Yeah, they wanted to introduce Quidditch, but they're like, if this game does well, the first one, we're going to definitely put it in the second one.
Mm-hmm. So, I also went to San Diego Comic-Con 2024. Bobby, you did the downtown Saturday thing. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I walked around for a little bit. I usually do a lap, just take a look at everything. And then I'll whatever's in town, comedians or shows or whatever, I might do one of those.
And you did, right? You didn't you go to like some sort of symphony thing?
Yeah, they had the 35th anniversary of Tim Burton's Batman, accompanied by an orchestra playing the soundtrack, and a bunch of really drunk, loud people in the back that got kicked out that ruined half the show.
But it's a Comic-Con show. Nice nowadays when it comes to live performances.
No, I've done this before. I did it for the Back to the Future one. It's the same thing. All these like half drunk Comic-Con nerds come in from sweating all day in the July San Diego heat, and it's a symphony, but it's just like the standards are a lot lowered for something like that. So you kind of expect that a little bit.
I just put myself in the shoes of like a 40 year veteran cellist that's like has been around the world and played all kinds of venues, and now you got to play these drunk assholes that dressed as fucking Iron Man.
It's like the ending of Tar. I know you guys haven't seen that movie. Maybe a listener has, but yeah, if you saw that movie and you saw the ending, that's pretty much how it is.
My Comic-Con experience is not like, I definitely don't maximize Comic-Con. Like, I don't do it right, as it were. I go Sundays because that's the easiest ticket to get. And you can get deals on the sales floor, and that's pretty much all I do. I go onto the sales floor and just try to walk the whole thing in the 5 hours that I have, and you can't. It's too big. There's too much shit. You see a lot of the repeat stuff, but... and the cosplay is not as much on Saturday for sure. I mean, Sunday. It's all Saturday. That's the big day. There are panels and there are other auxiliary things to do on Sunday, but I don't... Like, it's... To me, it's, like, so disorganized. I try to, like, do some research and see what I want to do. It's just so much is going on. It's a big mess. I couldn't even find the Magic the Gathering area this year. It turned out it was in another the princess was in another castle. It was in the hotel next door.
I asked you to pick me up something and you fucking failed.
I know. But next year I do want to do a little more research and actually attend some cool stuff. Who knows if I'll get that Saturday ticket. And I don't even know if I want to go that Saturday. Like, it is so packed even on a Sunday. I don't know how much more that it would be on Saturday. But anyway, I had a really good time going with a 12-year-old that just recently got into anime in the last, like, 16 months. That's the best. Like, she's like,
geeking out.
this is the thing by the thing? I'm like, all right, kid, get whatever you want. She's such a good kid. She gets good grades, so I spent a good amount of money on her, but she's super happy. That's where it's at.
Yep. Start living vicariously through the children.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to highlights. So these are games that we have played this week, and I'm going to start us off with No Creeps Were Harmed, TD, which means Tower Defense. So if you've been on Steam this week, you've noticed that they've had the Steam Tower Defense Fest going on, where you can buy a bunch of Tower Defense games on sale. I've realized you can't go wrong with a Tower Defense game. They're just, even the bad ones are still pretty good. So I saw one that immediately caught my eye because it was a little different. No Creeps Were Harmed, TD. This has been in development for a while, and they have recently hit their 1.0 launch. And the conceit here is it's got a 3D environment. Usually these tower defense games are top down. They're on a two-dimensional plane, X and Y axis. This one adds the Z axis, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. First of all, you've got to do a lot more with moving the camera around. But second of all, you can create different choke points. So there's a level, I haven't gotten to it yet, but it's in the trailer if you watch it, that's just like a giant cube. So you can place turrets on like ceilings, on like the sides of walls, like all these different places, get some crossfire going. It's pretty unique. I mean, I don't think I've seen that done before. It's developed by this company called MinMax, which didn't seem familiar until I looked at their other games. They had developed this game called Spaz, S-P-A-Z. It's actually Space Pirates and Zombies. It was a like an action strategy game from a long time ago that was pretty popular. I never played it, but it was I remember it being like always being in the bundles or being sold really cheap, and like it just really got around because it was a pretty good game and not very expensive. But this one, or this No Creeps or Harm game, actually a lot of fun. A few complaints, mostly the voice acting is, wow, pretty bad. I haven't seen voice acting this bad since Squad. It's it's very amateur.
You don't come to the Tower Defense for the voice acting, Bobby. Just
yeah, and you can turn it off, which is nice too. But they do try to work in a lot of story. Don't care for that. You know, every time I beat a level, I gotta like click, 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 you know, skip all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the voice acting, it sounds a little on the amateur side, but it also sounds like all the characters are the same person. They just change the voices with like some tools and like Adobe Audition or something. Like they pitched it down or up and added like some reverb or something.
It's like that drunk episode where I try to do all the my characters. It was all the same voice at a certain point.
Yeah. Yeah.
these levels look like Hot Wheels tracks, dude, from like commercials from the 90s, you know, like where they would put it together in a way that there's no way you could build it. If you bought the toy, you'd have to buy like four sets. Like, this is crazy, dude. Crazy looking. I've never seen anything like it in a Tower Defense. I like it. I like the idea.
Some of the levels, like there's the cube level. There's one that looks like a roller coaster. It just looks like a roller coaster. That's the best way to explain it. Yeah. And the game is like mechanically, it's very sound. Like it just, they did a good job creating this. You can't expect much from a tower defense game. Like you know everything that comes along with a tower defense. Like you know what to expect, but still when it's done right, you appreciate it. And then the whole like 3D Z axis thing, like that adds another level to it.
You can't expect great voice acting either, Bobby.
Not expect anything else.
Definitely. I think it looks very sweet. I'm kind of sold on this, man. I'm going to go ahead and put that on my, and it's 40% off right now.
Yeah. It's on sale for $11.99. Definitely recommend it at that price. It also has that, a lot of tower defenses do this where you have that one hero character that you can actually move around and control. It gives you something to do. That's more interactive. Because tower defenses usually just set everything up and then let the enemies pour through. So you kind of sit and watch. But when they give you a character to control, then it makes it a little more exciting.
Now that character, does it fly around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called the Brain Jar.
Oh, shit.
And and it hovers around and it builds things and it also attacks enemies. You can upgrade it and make it more powerful. Very, very much like Orcs Must Die. Of course, that was more like a first person or actually third person shooter.
Cool, man. Thanks for bringing something fresh, man. I like it.
Yeah, just came out. Check it out. Good time. All right, Emilio, what do you got this week?
Geez. I have a game. So John bought me another game. It's called Infest. And oh boy, is it strange. It is a mix of a roguelike deck builder and those games that aren't real games that are like you see the mobile like commercial for, where you see a character that he has to get the gold, but then the fire is behind them, and it's like, do I pull this key or whatever? You know which ones I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're totally not real games at all.
Yeah. So it's like a mix of those, but it's actually a real game. And a little bit of Noita in there for if anybody who knows what that is.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a roguelike deck builder where there's an environment to be thought of as well. So they can be, so the gunpowder is one, ice is another, fire is another, poison is another, and they all interact with each other. So not only are you playing cards from a deck and building that deck, you're also aiming where those spells are going to go in the environment and how they're going to affect the world. That all goes into the equation as well. So you can, let's say a character is sitting on a platform and has a lot of hit points. You might burn the ground underneath it if he's standing on something that's burnable, and he'll fall into the lava pit where he will take eternal damage, and that the lava will kill them. But if you accidentally throw an ice ball at that fire, then it's going to put it out. So you got to think about all these chemical reactions while you're playing it. I played it for about half an hour, just right, because that's all I had this week, pretty much. I definitely can't say recommend or not. People seem to like it. It's very early. Like, this is their first build, early access. It looks rough. It's like a
8-bit. It really does. I mean, I'm not trying to put it down, but it does look kind of rough.
Yeah. The sand physics is probably the only thing that looks, like, good in it. And when you, like, light the gunpowder on fire and the effects. But, yeah. I don't know exactly where I land on this yet. They have to build it more, and then I have to play it more, and then I'll bring it up. But until then, if anything I said sounds appealing, check it out. It is definitely original. Adding environmental stuff to Slay the Spire is kind of cool. So that's where I'm at with that.
Cool beans, man. This is not my game, but if you like roguelike deck builders, which is apparently its own genre now in Steam, check it out. My game for this week for highlights is Baldur's Gate. It released a year and one day ago today on August 4th.
That's crazy, man.
I still literally play it every week, or try to at least. I play with my niece and her husband and my wife. And we're currently in Act 3, and there's still some bugs in this game. And pretty, like, annoying ones. So, for example, when you get to Act 3, within, like, the first, like, quarter of the act, there is an event that your character is supposed to go through. But you can skip it, and you can skip it in a non-janky way as well. But the thing is, if you do, it causes a bunch of syntax errors with, like, the logic. Like how logic is determined for conversation pieces, because it's like your character is supposed to have these conversation options when they talk to like some of the citizens. It's like, oh, do you remember what happened in the coronation? Isn't this coronation insane? Blah, 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 blah. Like all these other things. And if those don't pop up, you're playing multiplayer, your characters can split what instance they're in, and certain players won't be able to move. So, like, this happens almost every time we have to load a save. Eesh. And we all have to completely close our games.
This is groundbreaking.
I mean, yes and no. You shouldn't be skipping that part, but the reason why we skipped that part is the character I'm playing automatically gets attacked. And it's like, all right, we don't want to deal with this fight. We don't want to deal with this interaction until we're stronger.
And it feels like you're running into a bug while you're doing something janky to try to get a build to pass a point where you weren't supposed to.
Yes. Well, yes and no. But even if you do this with with a player created character or like one of the other default characters, you will have this bug. And it's only in multiplayer. In single player, it doesn't happen.
So strange.
Yeah. It ends up splitting the instance of where everybody's at, and everybody just runs on whatever load that they're on their own PC, and it'll load staggered. And so Leslie will be looking at her PC and she's like, I can't move my character. And we're like, your character's running with us. Like it's very weird. They're also addressing the other bug that is going on that everybody's exploiting when they play this game. Now it kind of makes it unfun. You can put a bag in a vendor's inventory, put their whole store in the bag, and then just take the bag, and then you won't, I mean, and just buy the bag, and they won't, and it's the bag price. Or you can even just drag and drop it if you have a good reputation with them, and you just get everything in their store for free.
Dude, Larian's one of our top listeners, so say goodbye to that little hack.
Yeah, no, they, the game's still super fun, though. The only thing I don't like about it is unfortunately we only play in like 2-hour chunks because my niece and her husband like have shit to do usually in the mornings and stuff. So go play Baldur's Gate 3 if you haven't played it. There's a lot of stuff that was a problem before but has now been fixed. But if you're planning on playing multiplayer, do not skip the coronation. That's all I have to say.
Let me shoehorn another little gaming thing that happened to me today. I was working in an elevator today, so with only six people in the whole building. So I had a lot of downtime. I played some Steam Deck on there. I played Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, which I've already talked about how much I love that game. But I do want to throw a little kudos and love out to Gabe Newell and the team. They said that one of the first things that they focused on when they were making the Steam Deck was how important it would be to just be able to turn it off and then pick up right where you left off without save state or whatever it is. You don't have to actually go and save where you're at. It's just you pick up exactly where you left off. And I must have turned it off 40 times today in the middle of a Deep Rock Galactic run, in the middle of just like chaos all around me, and then turn it back on and I'm right back where I was without even pausing or anything. It's such a great feature. And if you were on the fence about getting one, like your kid runs into the room, you could just literally just turn it off and then be right where you were without. And why is this so important? Because you're not pausing it where it's using up the same amount of battery because you don't know when you're going to get back to it. Like, it's great. It just, the whole machine just turns off. I wish I could do that on PC. Why can't I do that on PC? I should just be able to, like, stop my game wherever I am, in mid-jump, in mid-whatever, uppercut, you know? Yeah, and just come back to it, as long as it's single player.
What's weird is that we have that feature on, PS5 and Xbox and Switch. Like, you literally could just push the power button, it stops where you're at, and then you press power button again and it continues where you're at. And I often wonder why you can't do that on PC either.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Maybe if you install SteamOS on your computer instead of Windows. I guess that's still a thing. I don't know if they still have that for computers though. SteamOS. I think it's just a Steam Deck operating system.
I'm not sure. Nobody's running SteamOS. I don't think.
No. I wonder if that's like an abandoned project.
Well, it still works on the Deck. That's the main thing that it runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was when it looked like for a minute there that Windows was going to be a very unfriendly environment for gaming, at least any gaming outside of the Microsoft Store. So SteamOS was kind of their backup plan. And they had those Steam boxes for a while too. I don't think those, I think all that is just kind of turned into the Steam Deck. They kind of put it all into developing that. Yeah. Anyway, that concludes highlights. Those are the games that we played this week. Let's move on the radar. These are games that we have not played but have caught our attention. And I'll start it off with Star Wars Bounty Hunter. I've never heard of this game before until today. Somehow it's a Star Wars game that I missed. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I've never come across this game. I was like, Star Wars Bounty Hunter. What's that? Apparently this game came out in 2002. It is a third person action shooter where you play as Jango Fett hunting down a deranged Jedi. And this happens before episode 2, which is obvious because he gets his head cut off in episode 2. So, of course, it happens before then. But I'm guessing it happens right before then. They remastered this game and released it on Steam recently, very recently, just a few days ago. What is interesting about this is that it was remastered by Aspyr. That's the development team that made Battlefront Classic Collection, which was a disaster that we may remember from a few months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same team. But apparently, according to the reviews, there aren't a whole lot of them, but the reviews for Star Wars Bounty Hunter says this is actually a really good remaster. And it's only $20, which seems appropriate. I was hoping it was going to be done by that other team that remastered Dark Forces and does like all the old school remasters, but apparently Aspyr has done other ones too. They remastered Tomb Raider 1-3. But this one looks like it's the real deal. Like, they've done a good job here, and it's probably like a a good way to play a really old game. So I am very interested in this one. You may be hearing more about this next week, in fact.
Hell yeah, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, I have no idea why this... And, you know, back in May, Christian and I played nothing but Star Wars games and talked about them, which was a lot of fun. And I looked around for, you know, what are the best Star Wars games? And I wasn't looking for, like, anything that we had played before. So I'm really surprised this one didn't pop up during my research. Somehow it escaped me.
I've seen this, like, game art before. And I've seen everything else. And I can't believe you've never seen this. It's just so weird.
It's bizarre. All right. Well, I don't know where Emilio went. So, Nick, I guess you're up.
Yay. I chose a game that the comedy style is what caught my attention. I'm a big fan of British comedy. And there's this game called Thank Goodness You're Here. And they call it a slap former. So you play this tiny little guy and you go around the English countryside and English like streets and you slap things to interact with them. And then there's like these little mini games and shit. And the whole game just seems like a giant spoof on British culture. It's only $16 right now, or $17 right now. It's $16.99. The game is hand drawn and it just seems like it's really fun. It also has some platforming parts and puzzle parts, and it has a 90 on Metacritic. So I would say
98% on Steam, Bobby, didn't I remember to achieve overwhelmingly positive, I thought you had to hit a certain level or number, like 1,000 or something. This is overwhelmingly positive right with now. 500.
Yeah, it's 98% of people found this positive, and it's 507 reviews. It came out August 1st.
Coincidentally, there was 513 developers involved into this. Just putting that out there.
Anybody get developer's that joke? Name is Cole Supper. Interesting. Yeah, that looks cool. That looks like an interesting.
I do
like
it. They also made that game that Days talked about ages ago, The Good Time Garden, but that one was only like 45 minutes long. She said, where you can like slap like a blob of boobs and like a bunch of other stuff. Like
they're all about the slappiness, huh?
It's all about the slap. It looks like it's like the same little character drawing, just a little bit more details on the main character for Thank Goodness You're Here.
Hey, if you're slappy, I'm slappy, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
All right.
What do you got, Emilio?
Emilio, what do you got this week?
What do I have this week? Just something strange. I'm not exactly excited about it. Okay, so somebody put it on our Discord under the radar. You can too. Just go to dlgaming.net, click on our Discord, join our Discord. There's a very stringent process of joining the Discord. You have to just hit the join button. After that, you can go to the On the Radar and see what we think of the game you think is cool. This time, it's Castle Crashers. How old is this game? How old is Castle Crashers?
16 years old.
Okay, 16 years old. It's got a new DLC coming out called Painter Boss Paradise DLC. So basically, I think you can kind of like go on there like Mario Paint and just draw whatever you want. That image will be your helmet, and the game will animate it for you and make it like something that looks alive in the game, which I thought was pretty cool. Maybe a little bit of AI in there. I don't know what's going on, but I thought that was kind of cool. But then also, the game is getting new hand-drawn everything. Every character is getting redrawn by hand, which is cool, I guess. And then it's a DLC that you're going to access through the Steam Workshop, which I thought was so strange. Because apparently, I mean, according to the video that I watched, it's from Behemoth. So why would you put a DLC for your game through the workshop if you have the source engine, like the source material. I don't know. I don't really, it's not about, this is not about like Castle Crashers or any of this. It's just like, why do this so late? Why do it this way? I don't know. Maybe somebody
like
was bored.
Like a passion project, maybe just to get people to come back online.
Yeah, could be, man. It was a really solid game for the time.
I have a buddy who has over 700 hours in Castle Crashers.
And like Bobby, we played it like briefly, right? Maybe.
Maybe. I haven't played Castle Crashers in a really long time. That was one of the few games that I ever lost a save in. The Steam saving system or Cloud Sync failed me on that one, and I lost a lot of progress. It's one of the, maybe the only time that's ever happened to me.
Maybe this is the new DLG fucking quest, man. We go and save the Castle Crashers. Go play it. I don't have time. In a month, I might get laid off. I don't know. And then I'll have a whole bunch of time.
Dude, Vivian starts school in 10 days, and I'm just like, yes, free time. Give it to me.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for On the Radar. And since Christian's not here this week, I guess we won't be guessing that sound.
And that means no $5 for you guys. I mean, I feel like a failed... Right, you gotta fail in order to go up in money.
Well, we'll continue that next week. We're getting a lot of guesses in for the sounds. We weren't able to give anyone a hint last week, but better luck next time, I suppose. Real quick shout out to Atom subscribing for 11 months on Twitch. Thank you very much, man. That's almost a year.
Thanks, homie.
Thank you, dude.
All right. And that brings us to our one listener question. This is going to be a short episode. We've only got one listener question this week. And that is from Pyronical. He says, today, on the 4th of August, is National Friendship Day in the U.S. Have you seen friend.com? The AI friend dystopia awaits. So did you guys click that link? I was a little scared too.
Yeah,
I gotta go check it out now.
I'm afraid of AI as it is already.
Yeah. Okay. So I clicked on it and I'll give you a brief description. If you've seen the movie Her, it's kind of like that. Okay. It's this little digital necklace that you wear around and you press a button and your buddy talks to you. This digital AI talks to you as if they are your friend and they're always listening to you. And so they formulate opinions and it's just basically like an AI friend that you wear around your neck. And yeah, a little creepy, but I guess it was bound to happen, right? Like this was inevitable.
Yeah. They're not the first one to try this. There's been like a few failures already. It's funny cause I watch all of Marques Brownlee's, videos and he's the number one tech reviewer and nobody else watches, like nobody knows what I'm talking about when I bring him up. I know you guys know who he is, but like nobody else watches it anyway.
I mean, I watch him every now and then when like the new Pixel comes out or the new
iPhone something comes out. That has to do with you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not like I'm gonna watch every Marques Brownlee video.
That's me. I watch them all because I find, you know, tech interesting and the way he presents it. Anyways, there was this thing called the Rabbit V1 or something like that, and some other thing. They were like a pin that you wear for the AI access, and I tend to agree with his synopsis of the whole industry of these like wearable things. It's like we already carry our phones, and the phones are way more capable. Like once phones start integrating AI, there's no need to do any of these like wearable things. You'll just have AI on your phone and then your phone will talk to your earpiece and then you'll have an AI in your earpiece. There's no need for a necklace, basically.
Need an app.
Yeah, I just need an app. But I still think that ChatGPT is a dumb cunt.
Well, it is. So as someone who's in like academics and stuff, one thing that they let us know is like, hey, we scan the shit out of your papers for AI usage. And if you get like suspected AI usage above 30%, you're going to be asked to like provide any data that we request. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, all right, cool.
I mean, what's stopping you from having the AI write the whole thing and then you just writing it in your own words? I mean,
so I'll tell you right now, as someone who has seen that be done on a video and like how the school catches that right, the AI usually, if you're trying to like, for example, you're trying to write a paper, let's say, about the effectiveness of growing corn in Texas, right, compared to other states, the AI will usually not give you concrete statistics, and the sources they give you are usually expired, as weird as that sounds. So you can be like, okay, write me a two-page paper about the corn growing methods in Texas and compare it to like all these other states, right? And what ends up happening is it'll write the paper for you and you'd be like, okay, give me three sources and then put those sources in the paper. And you're like, all right. And as soon as you get to those sources, it usually does not have any like statistics or accurate statistics. And the links that it gives you, when you click them, it'll be like this can't be found, because ChatGPT uses like a stored bank of information, and those websites are usually updated or changed or anything like that. Like for example, like the UN website is constantly being changed every day. And so if you try to create a link that's not like a super basic link and you're trying to get like the super specific link from ChatGPT, it's not going to work. So it just does not work that often. Another thing is like, if you notice a sentence that's like longer than three lines long and it has like three commas in it, it usually means that sentence was generated by AI.
Yeah. The reason I call it a dumb cunt is because it's like confidently incorrect.
Yes.
It doesn't say that, it won't be like, well, I think maybe. No, it's like, this thing is a thing. And then you look into it and it's definitely not a thing.
Yep.
But shout out to Lex Friedman podcast. It's my new Joe Rogan podcast. He recently had the CEO of Perplexity AI on there. And Perplexity AI is I haven't tried it yet, but it cites every single one of its sources. And so, yeah, you just, any part of whatever given information is all on there, and not just that, but it guesses what you want to know from there and has like recommended continual queries. Yeah. I really want to check it out.
There's one called Grammarly, and Grammarly used to be like a spell check, but it was live from whenever you were typing stuff. So if you were like in a conversation with like somebody, it would check your grammar and edit it, and then it would like check your emails and stuff. It was specifically for grammar. Now they have a tool that when you're typing, it's like, oh, you're looking up like bear mating rates in like Wyoming. Yeah, here's more information about it, and it'll pop up on the side of your screen and with like a bunch of shit. And it's pretty insane. It's like, do you want us to write a sentence about this? I'm like, whoa. But once again, usually when AI writes a sentence, when it comes to like anything academic, it'll usually come with like a 2-3 part sentence. And it's pretty easy to like determine like what's AI. Like there's like this public forums that we have to do every week, and you can see people's writings, and I'm pretty sure I'm like accurate like 90% of the time when I see someone using AI. Cause like
for now, dude, for now.
Yeah. For now, definitely for now.
Yeah. But it's been a couple years tops.
Yeah, of course. I think things are going to change a lot when it comes to this kind of stuff. But what's annoying is that a lot of people are calling things AI when it's not AI. It's just like a bot that checks one thing or another. It's not actually free thinking or anything like that. So yeah.
Bobby, my house computer is seeming more and more likely, right? The one you made fun of me so much about.
You mean the one from like the Disney Channel movie in like 1999?
I was telling Bobby, I was like, well, I was telling the audience too, that at some point, whatever game you want to make, you'll just talk to your house computer and it'll just make whatever game you want. Like I want a roguelike deck building game that's based on bigger and bigger boobs, and it'll just make it, you know? And then if you run into a problem, you just be like, I don't like this problem, this part of it, or like change it. And you'll just make your own games at home.
Isn't that part of the plot of Ready Player One? And that's why everybody plays in the virtual world, is to actually interact with people. And the same thing with Gamer.
They don't really have house computers. No. They've just got like VR strapped to their head, and they go into the Oasis, which is like Second Life, but with better graphics.
Yeah. I mean, any graphics are better than Second Life graphics.
Mila Castle just watched Crashers that one. Actually, she watched it last year as an 11-year-old, and it blew her mind. She's like, this is fucking amazing.
Have you seen the other, like the list of things that they wanted to put in the movie that like some of the companies were like, no, not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like three times as big as the stuff that they actually put in. Like, cause you know how the Iron Giant's in the movie for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other things that they wanted to put in that movie.
Well, if you read the book, it's all 80s references. And they, when they made the movie, it's all modern day. So yeah, that's a lot harder IPs to get, but yeah.
All right, folks, that's it for the listener questions. What's everybody playing next week?
Turn in the fucking building? yeah, it's going to be rough for me, guys. I don't know. I am not the master of my own fate for the next month. So we'll see.
I think I'll be playing more No Man's Sky or Halo Infinite. It depends on whatever, like my friends want to play and things like that, but we'll see.
All right. I am really leaning towards picking up Star Wars Bounty Hunter. I'll probably play that. I didn't get around to reinstalling Windows this week, so I'm going to try to do that too. We'll see how it goes.
Nice.
All right. And on that bombshell, speaking for Bobby, Nick, and myself, Bounty Hunter Titties. They call him Bounty Hunter. Hangers.